Sometimes you like to add a little humor to your sermons, but after the announcements, I don't think I'll even try. It was so emotional that it left our coordinator in tears. But at the end of it, I think he could have used some drugs. I appreciate the special music. Thank you. They tell the people in my congregation, why does Rex Spear speak? Because they heard him sing, that's why. You know, God commands us to keep his feast every year. Why? Because he loves us. This feast is an expression of God's love toward us, and he knows we need them. We live in a very evil world, and it's not getting any better. We have to be constantly reminded of the things to keep us on the right track. I noticed that most of the sermons have been delivered by people with graying hair, and I tell people that I have less gray hair to worry about all the time. But we know that in the next 10 years, there's going to be a lot of changes in the ministry, younger people coming up. And I'll tell you right now, God isn't worried about it, and neither should we be. He will take care of his people no matter what. But from righteous Abel to the present, God's people have had to live in Satan's world. The Feast of Tabernacles is a preview of a world that does not yet exist. I might put on that, unfortunately. It can be a shock when we really think about it, just how little control we have over our lives. We have no control of when we were born. I was born in 1938, way back in the last millennium. We had no control over who our parents were or how many siblings we have. I'm an only child. A friend of mine that was ordained on the same day had 12 kids, about as opposite as you can possibly get. We had no control, no choice on the timing of our calling. I was 30 when I was called. My youngest daughter is in France. She grew up in the church. My wife and I were very blessed. We were called at the same time. I know there are many people out here that wish their mates were here also. God the Father looked down and said, I want that one, and I want him now. We do not choose when to be called, but we do have a choice in how we respond to that calling. But the fact that we're here at the Feast of Tabernacles means that we said to God, count me in. You wonder when you're up here, Mr. Ledbetter is there, and he's looking over here, he's looking over there, and the reason why you look straight ahead, you're blinded by the lights. I hope you get a good view of me because you're kind of blurry out there. This is quite different from Hawaii, where everything is sort of dark. When we started our long journey down the narrow path to the kingdom of God, God promises that he will be with us all the way, Ephesians 2:19. My wife and I never thought that our journey would be as long as it's been. We were baptized in January 1969. And I bring these electronic gadgets here. And I don't know how to work them. It's amazing. I look forward to when we go to a place of safety that there'll be no electricity, so I don't have to worry about these silly things. But when we were baptized in January 1969, the Soviet Union was still a reality, and they seemed to be making inroads all over the world. People were building bomb shelters in their basements. The Vietnam War was intensifying with no end in sight. It looked like we were heading straight to Armageddon. In 1975, the communists won the war in Vietnam. The war, the end had to be near. But on December 26, 1991, the Soviet Union officially ceased to exist. Now, almost 24 years later, the Russian bear is once again on the prowl. I'm not much at making prophetic statements and everything, but one thing I've learned over the years is that I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is not coming back in 1975. Well, we thought the end was near. We were wrong. But there's something we need to think about. That was a disappointment to us personally. We would like Jesus Christ to have come back sooner. Between 1969 and now, over 4 billion new potential members of God's family have been born. God knows what He's doing. God knows how many people He wants in His kingdom. We don't. God is the master of timing. We are not. When God's family is complete, how many billions of people will there be in His family? We do not know. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. We're being built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the prophets. The people in the millennium will need a foundation that only the God family can give. There are people that could not personally attend this feast. That is because of illness or because of age. No matter where you are these days, there is still the Feast of Tabernacles. God never loses track of us and never will. I learned a big lesson 4 years ago when for the first time I missed the feast completely. I would not plan it that way, but God decided I needed to be refocused. He needed to get my attention, and He did. And God did it in a very dramatic and a very personal way. We went to the tropical paradise of Maui, Hawaii. We arrived early at the feast. When I got off the plane, I was tired. Rita went shopping, and I stayed in the room and took a nap. The next morning, I was feeling worse. Just walking from the room to where we were to pick up the car, and it wasn't that all that distance, left me tired and gasping for breath. She said, "Do you want to go shopping, or do you want to go to the Kaiser Clinic?" I hate hospitals. But then I knew I had to do something. So we went to the Kaiser Clinic. At the Kaiser Clinic, I was diagnosed with pneumonia. From that point on, it went downhill. The first time I saw the inside of the meeting hall was the next year. We went back to Hawaii. My big night on the town was Taco Bell after the feast was over. But it turned out to be one of the most profitable feasts I have ever had. It gave me a completely different perspective of my calling. 4 events during that feast show me how desperately this world needs the kingdom of God, and that I needed to get my own personal act together if I was going to be of any help to anybody at all. When we picked up our car at the airport, we found out that the two-lane road leading up to the town where the feast was closed due to a wreck. 2 teenage girls had been killed. And the lady at the car rental place, two of them were talking together, and I can still remember the question one asked the other. I don't know the answer to the question. Had they been drinking? Paradise is only a paradise in Hawaii if you got a lot of money on vacation or you got a lot of money in living there. The next waking moment for those girls will be in the second resurrection. But my knowing that in no way helped those grieving parents. Obviously, I did not know these girls or their families. But if we're not careful, we can become short-sighted or nearsighted. And if we look at it as only our relatives and our friends. We need to look for more when the coming back of Jesus Christ. He's coming back for the entire world. Over the weekend, because the clinic was closed, I chose to spend two nights in the hospital. I shared a room that first night with about a 20-year-old man who was in there with asthma. And he had a young teenage girlfriend that was there, very young, very pretty, and they're already devoted to him. He apparently got asthma when he'd been in a car wreck, and the steering wheel had hit him in the chest. I did not even know you could get asthma that way. But they had 3 to 4 people working on that young man all night just to keep him breathing. I also found out that he had no insurance, but it didn't stop them from working on him. Then the girl's father showed up. Now, she's a very pretty Hawaiian girl, so her father, you get this stereotype of a heavyset Hawaiian man. No, he's a little shrimp of a white guy, would you believe? And he was interesting. He said, "I can call power from the stars of heaven to heal you." He also asked, "There's this kid, okay, he's got asthma, he's got oxygen trying to breathe, I got pneumonia, I got oxygen, and I asked to be transferred," and the guy says, "Do you think it's all right if I smoke marijuana?" I thought I was going to put a whole new definition of the term, a hot time in the old town tonight. Then during the night, there was, have you seen that commercial for the insurance company with the goose saying, "Aflac, Aflac," where it sounded like this woman was doing all night was saying, "Aflac, Aflac, Aflac." I guess she wanted more insurance, but I talked to the nurse the next morning and said she wasn't saying that. She was cursing. She had Alzheimer's. I saw her walking around the next day with her grandson. And you could tell that that lady had meant a lot to her, taught to him at one time. But her mind was gone and going, far beyond any help we can give her right now. Well, we need to be there to help billions of people like this, to help them to come to grips, to really be able to learn God's truth. She has no other hope. The last night, about 11 p.m., they told me that I was going to have to share my room with a 16-year-old kid. He had been at his girlfriend's house, and coming back home on a moped at 11 p.m. at night when he ran into a mailbox. Unfortunately, this is Hawaii. The mailbox is made out of volcanic rock. Volcanic rock, one leg, two, as in two pieces. It was a clean break. 16 years old. The first visitor he had was his 16-year-old girlfriend and their baby. I felt, you know, what kind of future does the baby have? The mother was trying to convince the doctor that he needed to be out of school and in school at home for 3 months instead of just about 1 month what he wanted to do. What she did not tell him, and I had overheard her talking to the other people in the family, was the kid was actually a dropout, and he was trying to get him more interest in school so he'd actually go back to school. My wife asked one of his sisters, he hoped that having a rod in his leg would not cause a problem for him to getting through security at the airport. And she looked at my wife and said, "He'll never leave this island." Oh, I might also point that in the moped, the only thing that survived was the seat. Somebody stole it. The solution to this world's problems is Jesus' return to this earth. There is no other solution. There's no solution that the next president can come up with, the United Nations can come up with. The solution is the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. We are here at this feast because we want to be part of that solution. People that are striving to develop the mind of Christ. People that are developing the character necessary to bring peace and prosperity to this world. And this is what it needs. Right now, you took all the resources of United and all the other churches of God. You couldn't make a dent in the problems of San Francisco. And I'm from the West Coast, outside of San Francisco. We couldn't make a dent in those problems. But what we can do that can make a difference is developing godly character. So that in the government and the world tomorrow, people can trust it. When the government says something, it means it. Right now, you're never quite sure. Who what gets elected to political offices? The great speakers. But nobody knows whether they actually mean what they say or not. Are they just looking at the polls to say what is necessary to get elected? Chances are none of these people that I met will be called in this age. But some of these people out here will live into the millennium. Henry David Thoreau said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. This may apply to the world, but it should not apply to us. Faith should take away our desperation. We know exactly what our goal is, the kingdom of God. I came away from that feast with a much clearer idea of how much this world needs me to get my act together. That lesson was priceless and is with me today. But as every lesson that we learned at the feast, it was just one step along the road. So I had to ask my question again this year. What am I going to take home from the feast this year? I hope to come away with yet a stronger commitment to God and His work. Why do I need it after what I went through in Hawaii? Because Satan spends all his time trying to divert us from our path, to get us off track. You know, you say you're on an airplane, you just deviate a little ways and everything, you can completely miss your goal. Ezekiel 3:17. I've been retired for a number of years. When we work, we are judged by our results. If you're a salesman, you're judged by the number of sales you make, the number of cars, refrigerators, computers, electronic gadgets, whatever. We need to understand how God judges us. Ezekiel 3:17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that some wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. What that tells me is that I was thinking of the first split sermon. What we understand, well, sometimes we take for granted, and I understand people say, you know, I don't see why the world can't see it. Well, the miracle is that we can see it at all. That we can understand Romans, that we can understand the purpose of the law and what Jesus' sacrifice is really all about. We had to be continually reminded of this by God to keep us focused. Matthew 24:14 tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. I have thought about these scriptures a great deal over the years. We as humans are not patient. We think we are failures if thousands of people don't start coming through the doors. But God is patient. Some of our warnings may not bear fruit for over 1,000 years, but they will bear fruit. Think of the people in Noah's day. Will they be resurrected, third resurrection? They'll come and say, you know, maybe I should have listened to Noah after all. And maybe at that point, they'll be ready to listen. I've got to tell you one thing they know beyond a shadow of a doubt. They can die. because they've already died once. They'll be much more willing to listen to what God and for what we have to say. Isaiah 58:1. I am proud of the Beyond Today program. I admire the men that have put their faces before the public. That takes courage and commitment. And that has been true from the original apostles to the present day. We don't know who these men were, especially in such things like the Dark Ages. But God tells us, just because we don't know, the church was there someplace. There are people that were living God's way. There are somewhere people that were preaching God's truth to other preachers. People. I got this affliction that comes from the announcements, I think. But God's church continues. You read in the New Testament. You read the book of Acts. And you see all the great things that the apostles did. But they're all dead. And the church of God continues. Because the head of the church, Jesus Christ, is still very much alive and in control. All these people, all these men that are doing the presentations can use our constant prayers. Our internet presence fascinates me. Last I read, over 10 million people had visited our website. New people. How they keep track of these things, I don't know. I really don't. But it's amazing. We can send it, when we have, we send a text message to my daughter in France and got a reply in less than a minute. That is amazing. I don't understand how it works, but I'm very happy to use it. What is available online is an enormous blessing. It provides God truth to the world. But just as important, these also give us tools for our own personal growth. But tools are only helpful when we actually use them. Isaiah 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Malachi 3:8. I think as time goes on here, our lives are going to get more complicated, you might say, because I think the messages that are going out are becoming stronger and stronger. And when this world collapses, the economy collapses and everything, they're not going to look around and say, well, what can I do to change? They're going to look for people to blame. The old days, 50 years ago, oh, 47, I've only been in the church 47 years, so I don't want to exaggerate here. Old days, some complained that all the church wanted them to do was to pay and pray. The church does not command us to tithe. God does. Why? Because it's good for us. It doesn't make sense from a physical point of view. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Many of the people that are on the campaign trail already, running for president, offer solutions to this country's financial problem. None of them mention, first of all, foremost, we need to tithe. And turn back to God. That hasn't happened. And unfortunately, I don't think the United States is going to be like ancient Assyria. They're not about to repent. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now on this, says the Lord. Why is it a blessing for us? If you will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Revelation 5:8. God wants to bless the world. God says, tithe, and I will bless you. Man says, bless me, And when I remember, I will give you a little something in return. Unfortunately, you and I still have to live in Satan's world. If you do not believe that, just open up your wallet and look at whose face is on our currency. All that the church does to preach the gospel and to feed us spiritually takes money. But beyond everything else, this is a spirit-driven church. Revelation 5:8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. It tells us that our prayers go directly to God, that he does listen to us, that we need to pray for this work that will go forward, because this world needs what we have to offer. Zechariah 4:6. I've had to ask myself some tough questions. I told you my experience in Hawaii increased my prayer life, but that was only the first step. I had to continually work on trying to intensify and focus when I pray. It is easy to give a rambling prayer about everything in general and sometimes nothing in particular. But to really get focused on specific problems or areas is not that easy. We need to consider carefully what God said to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel 4:6. And he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." We need to understand that we can be little power packs out here when we're praying to God to help this work move forward, to use whatever means he sees fit and use whoever people he wants to use. Many things have happened over the years that have tried to stop the work in its tracks. It has not. I can't imagine what it would be like to live during the Dark Ages when the plague was going through, when two-thirds or more of an entire towns were to die. Those people must have thought with reason that they were living at the end time. But they weren't. But God saw them through, and the church is still in existence. We have been numerically, in the modern age, much larger than in the past. But our job is not to open doors, but to go through the doors God has already opened for us. We have limitations. We unfortunately cannot walk through doors that God has not opened. What do you think of our chances of getting on TV in North Korea are? There are a group of people on this earth that needs God's truth. It's those poor people living in North Korea. What about Russia, Mongolia, China, Vietnam, Indonesia, or any Muslim country? We may never as an organization get there, but God is not worried. After all, he has a plan. To persevere, we have to keeping on. It's not that easy in this world. Satan has filled our society with many distractions. After all, we are in the midst of football season. And how did your favorite team do yesterday? Or on Sunday? Don't ask me, I don't want to know. Whether your team is professional, college, or high school, it can divert your attention from serious problems that are bringing the society down. We live in an electronic age. We have fantastic means of communications, but it can also be a great time waster. If you let it, our time, which is our lives, can just be wasted. Revelation 3:11 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one or man," in King James Version, "take your crown." I turn to Acts 4:23. We have to be so focused that nothing that Satan can do can come between us and our God. That takes prayer, Bible study, meditation, and fasting. Yeah, been hearing about that for 47 years, and it's still true. And it'll be true during the millennium. It'll be through the great white throne judgment. These tools have to be used. And meditation is very important. We need to really think about what God's way is all about. And the Feast of Tabernacles is a great place to do it. Do we really appreciate how bad this society is? If you have any problems, just ask God to let you see this society through His eyes. Acts 4:23 shows us the enormous power of prayer. Acts 4:23. And being let go, this is the apostles that had been persecuted. They went to their own companies and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And everyone focuses on God, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? It is doubly true of this age right now as it was then. People plotting violent acts. And the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and His Christ, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look at them, their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Notice that this prayer that is recorded in the Bible, these people were praying about the work in their day. We need to pray with the same fervency for the work in our day, that God will help us to accomplish much more than we can possibly do by ourselves. We need to use the next year to strengthen us to face whatever this next year brings, no matter how bumpy the road may be. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. I can't see if you raise your hands or not. But how many of you have been watching the Wednesday night Bible studies on the seven churches of Laodicea? Mr. McNeely in the last one covered Laodicea. And there's one short phrase in there that's really stuck in my mind. It was found in Revelation 3:18. And it said, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. We need to ask God to let us see ourselves as He sees us. It can be a painful experience and not something to be done lightly. If He shows us something, we had better deal with it. When we were young in the church in the 70s, not realizing what was in front of us, we had a lot of people that had the attitude of, well, Christ is coming back soon. We can live with our problems. They were mistaken. Time went on. And a lot of people left the church and their marriages broke apart. If you have problems, you need to ask God to show you what they are. We need to work on them and deal with them now. An excellent place to start, and I might give you a commercial for tonight, the one that the presentation on addiction. If you even think you have a problem, I would suggest that you go there. Because you have a problem, deal with it now. Tomorrow may be too late. I hope you enjoy the rest of your feast.